Hello everyone, my name is Professor Anuj and today we will look at work breakdown structures. So in this course, if you recall, what we've done is we looked at introduction of project estimation, then we looked at what exactly is a project, who are the different stakeholders, and then we looked at how is a project delivered. So then we looked at the project execution life cycle. Different stakeholders that are to be mapped, different stakeholder expectations are to be managed, both from the business perspective as well as from the software vendor's perspective. Then we looked at some project management methodologies in the form of a big bang approach or a phased approach. And we evaluated the pros and cons of each approach. We further looked at how each approach is suitable for one particular business thought, believe me, that there is no such thing as right or wrong, but we kind of categorized and made our opinion as to which areas are more suited for one approach over the other. We then had a look at the different methodologies, things like waterfall model, things like agile model. And within the agile model, we looked at different frameworks. We looked at things like Kanban, Scrum, etc. Right? More importantly, from a project perspective or from the end delivery perspective, it is important to view the merits and demerits of each methodology, because as stated previously, there is no one size that fits all. Depending upon the business situations, depending upon the nature of business, depending upon the maturity curve that the organization has in terms of the right kind of mindset of the management, the right kind of skill set from the people, the user interaction, etc., basis that the approach can be selected. So having looked at all of these, let us approach an interesting topic, which is work breakdown structure. What does a work breakdown structure mean? So just to give you a high level overview, and I'm not stealing the thunder from the rest of the slides, but at a high level, so that you understand what this session is going to be about, work breakdown structure, as the name suggests, you break down a high-end work into multiple smaller chunks or multiple smaller elements which can be easily tracked and delivered. So that's the whole concept behind work breakdown structure. Now you would ask me, why is a structure like this important? Well, it is important because first, if you have an end goal, which is a business objective, you need to translate that business objective into actionable items. And how do you arrive at actionable items? Using the breakdown structures. So, say for example, you have a higher goal in your life. And this might sound a little philosophical, but if you have a higher goal in life, so what you do is, you just don't look at that goal and chase that goal without any method, right? There has to be some method to the madness. So what you generally do is, if you have a goal, say for example, you would want to say achieve a MBA degree from a top B school by the age of say 30. So what you would do is, you would stage yourself up, you would prepare for entrance exams, you would scan the top B schools, you would research what are the pros and cons of each B school, you would maybe look at the placement track records, etc. So what you are doing in this particular process is that you had an end objective in mind to get admission in a top B school, and then you kind of broke that down into multiple smaller elements, saying getting good grades could be one of the element, researching about the B schools could be other element, etc. So that's the whole philosophy behind work breakdown structures. The same translated to IT, again, you have a business objective and you break down that business objective into actionable items. So that's the whole idea and the philosophy behind WBS or the work breakdown structures. So let us look at what we will cover today. We will start with a high level introduction of the WBS, that is a work breakdown structure, and then we deep dive into some of the concepts such as WBS elements. What exactly is an element, how does it WBS get constructed, etc., etc. Then we look at the decomposition of WBS, types of WBS structures. Now this is where it gets really interesting. Although as I said, at a high level you just kind of break down your goals into more actionable items, and it could be things like SMART, that is SMART, which is small, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound, right? So that's how we kind of determine our goals, or basically these are the characteristic of goals. But more importantly, there are two types of work breakdown structures. One is a phased wise work breakdown structure. So you divide the entire role or entire objective into different phases. And the second is delivery based. So delivery based is more related to a action item. And we'll look at both of these in greater details, how each approach differs from the other, etc., etc. We then spend some time looking at the WBS levels. So this would help you to understand what does a WBS consist of, what are the different elements inside it, and how are the different levels. So there are different levels in a WBS structure. You have level 1, which is the top objective, level 2, which is a little broken down objective, and so on. And once we do that, so these are the different levels which we will have a look at. You start with the high level project title, then you break it down into either phases or deliverables, as I was saying. Then you look at certain packages which are needed for this. And lastly comes the different tasks that need to be performed. So these are the different levels that I was talking about. And obviously we have a look at the benefits of the WBS. Having said that, we also look at some of the drawbacks. As a starting point, how do you create a simple work breakdown structure? We also see a look at the different tools that help to create a WBS. And more importantly, we look at some of the steps that are needed to create the WBS. And then obviously we kind of link everything together to project estimates, and then we summarize it so that it becomes a more actionable or more relatable thing for you. So again, this is going to be an exciting journey for this chapter as well. I hope I'll be able to impart a lot of information and knowledge to you. So let's get started. We start with what is WBS. So project estimations often rely on the accuracy of the number of deliverables required to complete the project, correct? So you have a high level estimate, but then it the estimate kind of depends upon what is to be delivered. So deliverables include the starting point would be the scope of work, understanding the business requirements, getting the business requirements aligned with the functional objectives, and then doing or mapping the functional objectives to a more tangible coding objectives, right? And this entire exercise revolves around estimation. So basis, the scope, the business objectives, what companies can generally do is put a high level estimate in terms of cost, in terms of the number of resources that will be needed, in terms of the number of time, and that's how they arrive at the entire man hours calculation. Once a high level estimate is prepared, that's where things like project timelines, duration of the project, etc., can be determined. So the first step is to rely on the accuracy of the number of deliverables. So you understand the high level scope, and then decide which are the action items. Once we list all these deliverables and the components that are required to complete the project, as we mentioned, we allocate a time and a cost element to it, right? So you have a entire project life cycle. You divide it into actionable items, actionable components that are to be delivered. So say if there is a huge or a large employee management system that has to be developed, and there could be different facets to it. There could be one element which takes into account the employee records. There could, so employee records such as daily attendance, the skill set, etc., etc. So that could be one element. The second element could be the background of the employee. So which were the previous employers, what was the track record, what was the history, etc., etc. The third could be in terms of say the attendance system. How is the employee filling the timesheets, etc., for salary compensation? Fourth could be in terms of say career progression or transitions. What are the skill sets? What is the end objective of the employee? What is the learning curve, etc., etc.? So these are different modules or basically different deliverables, right? So what we've done is the entire employee management system is then kind of broken down into multiple small achievable phases, right? So these are the deliverables, and then once you have these deliverables, you can then at the start of the project or during the project planning phase, what you can do is you can allocate a time and a cost to each of them. So say you have employee track record as one of the modules. So then maybe the functional expert, the domain consultant, and the coder would kind of sit together, obviously channelized by the project manager using any methodology. Maybe say, just for example, let us say that they are using a Scrum framework. So the Scrum master in this case would have a stand-up meeting and get these people aligned to talk about what would be the possible timelines. Also, they would look at the cost element to it. So the phase was decided and then a cost element is added to it. So this would lead to the estimates being more accurate. So what this particular exercise has done is that you've understood the business requirement, and then you have broken it down into multiple small modules that can be delivered. And within each of these modules, you've then engaged with the right set of teams to figure out what would be the estimate. So what you see here is a fairly logical, a methodical approach, which would give you a accurate estimate. And this is the whole idea. You perform multiple exercises, and the end objective is to have an accurate estimate which can be taken to the management. Detailing granular levels of the task is the best way to divide, so that the large projects can be managed easily. Now the thing is, you have the say a top level objective, and you've broken it down into multiple sub objectives. But the important thing is, even the sub objectives, the more details that you have, say in terms of the tasks that need to be done, in terms of the activities that need to be completed, the more accurate your estimate would be. Say, just coming back to the same employee management system example, where you said employee attendance is one of the sub objectives, correct? So within that, you link it to the attendance management system, you link it to biometric scanners, you link it to the holiday list, you link it to the timesheets, etc. All these things put together makes the attendance management system. But the point here is that the more detailed set of activities that you prepare, the more accurate, that is, the kind of unknowns become very less, and that should be the end objective. You come from a world which is complete unknowns, and slowly you would want to move into a world of complete knowns. Now, at the start of a project, people might not have all the information, and that's where questioning becomes all the more important. You keep on questioning and you get the outputs of the business objectives that you're looking at, so that you can map it to more actionable items. The goal of the WBS is to make a large project more manageable. That's what we said. Breaking it down into smaller chunks, which also means that work can be done simultaneously by different team members, leading to better productivity and overall deliverability of the project. So what it entails is that in the example that we took, say the employee management system, you could have, say, the attendance management system work start in parallel to, say, things like the employee background or the employee profile. Now, these two are not too related with each other, but this can be possible only if you have the kind of business objectives in mind, and then you've broken it down into multiple actionable items. So this is what WBS helps you to do. You've taken a large business objective, which is the project to be delivered, and you've broken it down into multiple actionable items or multiple phases. So these phases are, again, as I mentioned, these are smaller chunks that can be delivered. And these two processes, so say the attendance system and the background profile, the work on both of these can happen simultaneously, provided you have resources to work on that. So what we've done in this particular case is that you've broken down the top level objective into multiple smaller chunks, so that it's more actionable related, and then it could be delivered. Once a project gets delivered into smaller components or smaller chunks, you'll be able to estimate the scope. So what does this mean is that, say, in one particular module about, say, employee background, there'll be a separate team working on it. Now, this team would bring in a lot of, say, domain expertise, might have worked on things like this in the past. So they bring in the expertise, and using this expertise, using their past experience, they'll be able to scope this thing much better. They'll be able to ask questions, and then we'll be able to accurately provide an estimate about, say, the time it'll require, and maybe the number of resources that will be needed to deliver this. So more importantly, from a project manager's perspective, he will get an estimate of the durability or the duration and the timeline that will be taken into account while delivering that particular module. So work breakdown structure. So this, let's now deep dive into this concept. So the WBS involves the decomposition of a major project into smaller, more manageable components until the deliverables are defined in sufficient details to support the development of the project activities. So that's what we said. The end objective, and we should always have a bigger objective or the larger goal in mind while we adopt the WBS. So you take a big project and then decompose it into smaller or more manageable components. Now, the trick here or the important part is to divide it into more measurable or more achievable areas. So again, how do you kind of define those achievable or measurable areas? The one thing that I look at is these areas should be SMART again. And SMART doesn't literally mean smart. It's an acronym, that is SMART, which stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. This concept can be taken into any area in life. So say if you are setting some goal for yourself, the goals have to be SMART. Or even in, say, the topic that we are discussing today, work breakdown structure, the decomposition of the major project can be into smaller elements which are SMART. So again, specific. So again, the tasks need to be specific, the end objective need to be specific. Obviously, it is measurable. it is realistic. It's not that you divide everything into, say, just one big chunk or two big chunks and let the teams run with it. So it should be realistic. Obviously, it should be time bound, so that the project manager, who at the end of the day is delivering it to the end customer, has a realistic project timeline, maybe a mini milestone attached with that particular phase, which can be communicated to the customer. A work breakdown structure element, it may be a product, data, service, or a combination of these. So we spoke about what the element would be. So the element is, it could be in any of these. Maybe it's a product that you are targeting. Maybe it's a functionality that you are targeting, or maybe it's a combination of both of these. A WBS also provides the necessary framework for the cost estimate and control, while providing the guidance for schedule, deployment, development, and control. So needless to say, once you have the top business objective broken into multiple actionable smaller areas, this particular exercise or this particular framework will provide guidance to, say, the overall development life cycle, and more importantly, provide a view on, say, controls. So controls in terms of cost controls, controls in terms of resource utilization, controls in terms of how the different tools, etc., get utilized, etc., etc. So all in all the necessary activities can be derived from the work breakdown structure. So WBS is nothing but a hierarchical and incremental decomposition of the project into phases. Now, this is where it gets more interesting. So the entire project that we've spoken about, it gets divided into multiple phases, or maybe say deliverables and work packages. And this is where there are the two approaches to WBS. You have the phased approach, and you have the delivery based approach. It's basically a tree structure, and we will explore the structure in the subsequent slides that shows the subdivision of an effort required to achieve an objective. Maybe it's a sub project or it's a sub objective. In the case of the employee management system, the sub objective may be in terms of grading the particular employee, right? During the appraisal cycle, because employees have to be graded as per their performance, the employee grading or the appraisal could be one subsystem of the employee management system, where you judge the employee basis the performance, basis the certification that he's done, basis the inputs that he's provided, maybe how he's benefited the end project, etc., etc. So what we've done is that basically it's a tree where you come maybe say top down, and just like the tree has different branches, this could be branched into multiple different phases or multiple different deliverable approaches. So in a project or a contract, a WBS is developed by starting with the end objective, as we discussed. You should have an end goal in mind, and then successfully dividing into manageable components, again managing or smaller elements in terms of the elements being smart, into manageable components in terms of size, in terms of duration, in terms of responsibility. So say there are multiple systems that need to be designed, multiple subsystems that will be part of that particular task, components, maybe say task, subtask, activity, and work packages. So the whole idea is that a good work breakdown structure is simply the one that makes the project more manageable, right? So again, keeping in mind the end objective here is that the project has to be delivered. Now, how it has to be delivered, this is a methodology to delivering that. Maybe how you have a lot more thought process into dividing the larger goals into smaller, more realistic time-bound goals, and then associate the activities along with that. And then you spread a view across this in terms of, say, who are the people involved, what are the tasks involved, what would be the tools involved, what would be some of, say, the IT landscape that will be needed, say, a particular project that has to be developed or a particular subsystem that has to be developed. There should be multiple servers required, a different environment in terms of a test environment, or user acceptance testing has to be done, etc., etc. So what you're doing is, of course, you have an end objective in mind, but you are breaking it down into smaller elements which are more realistic, and you can track it. You can have people more accountable. You can have that ownership element within each small subsystem. Okay. Let us now look at what is a WBS element. So a work breakdown structure element is part of work breakdown structure that describes for every project, task or activity some vital information. So element could be things like cost or the required resources, who will do it, or maybe the scheduled start date and the scheduled end date. So element is that vital piece which has a very tangible meaning to it. So assume that there is a financial portal that needs to be developed. In terms of that financial portal of that employee, where say the employee would declare the investments, and basis that investments, the tax gets calculated, and this gets fed into a financial portal through which the salary or the monthly compensation gets released. Now, in terms of this, this particular module that has to be developed, how many resources are required to develop this? What are the kind of activities that will be performed? What would be, say, a start date? And maybe if there are some new elements, so say if tomorrow in the budget a new norm has been declared saying that the limit for ATC gets increased from, say, 1.5 lakhs to, say, 3 lakhs, just a hypothetical example. So then that particular update exercise or that upgrade exercise in the existing module has to be affected using, say, a change control mechanism, correct? So what would be the scheduled start date? What would be the time for the testing to happen? How would the last phase look like? And when would the end delivery happen? So this put together, these are individual elements that are key to this particular success of this module. Every element or all these elements are kept in something called as a dictionary. Now, just like a dictionary is a collection of different words, in case of WPS, it's the central repository, you may say. It's a dictionary which gets sorted by different milestones and the overall scope. Say, this particular utility, the start date and the end date you've decided, right? But then within that particular phase, what are the small milestones that need to be achieved? Say, getting employee financial records could be, say, one of the milestone. Getting information, right information from them could be another milestone. Doing computation might be another milestone. And how the overall delivery or the timelines of the project get affected by this particular exercise is the overall project scope. So just to summarize, basically an element is that particular tangible piece of every project, maybe a task or activity which gives absolutely important information for that particular phase or that task or that project. Things like cost, things like duration, things like scheduled start date, end date, number of resources required, etc., etc. So those form the element. Let us now look at what is decomposition. So although we spoke about decomposition briefly, decomposition refers to a way in which a final product or a project is delivered, is decomposed. So by decomposed, what I mean is it's broken down into smaller and more related or more achievable smaller WPS components, say work packages or a group of tasks. So as I said, it is more related. So what you could do is bundle the associated tasks in one particular bucket, and that could be say one of your phases or one of your activities. So all in all, what does it mean? As the word says, a higher objective or a higher project goal gets broken down into smaller chunks, more like say subsystems or sub projects that could be delivered. It refers to the collapse of the large complex project into constituent parts. So again, larger goals, which can be maybe looking at it might seem to be difficult, but as and when you kind of break it down into smaller things, it could be more related.